Dear Lord, we thank you for your word that you're going to speak tonight, God. I pray that you would just have, that your presence is already here, but we invite you to do what you want to do. Holy Spirit, speak through me. May you replace my words with what you want to say. Help me not to go by what Shayla wants to speak, but help me to go by the Holy Spirit, what you're speaking tonight, God. We pray for soft, receptive hearts, God. Soft, receptive hearts in this room tonight to be able to receive the seeds that are being planted tonight, God, that they would take root in our lives, Jesus. And I pray that there would be no distractions in the room tonight, God, that you just help us to meditate on your word and walk away changed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Dang it, Daniel, man, got me going. Okay, so obviously we talked about how next week is camp, and I'm really excited for that. And I was telling the leadership how I asked God, like, hey, what do you want me to speak on? And you know how sometimes you ask God something and then it takes, it's like snail mail. It takes like a month to hear back from him. Like when you ask God a question, it wasn't that. This was like speed mail. This was like Amazon Prime. I heard God, Holy Spirit, very quickly. I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me to speak on expectation. And so we're going to speak on expectation tonight and how powerful it is when we put our expectation, God wants to meet that. Amen. So we'll dive into that. We'll look into what that looks like. But for example, you would not go to high school for 4 years every single day from 8 to 3, wake up in the morning, do all your homework, do all that stuff, if you didn't expect a diploma at the end of those 4 years, amen? You put in the work, you're doing all of it, you want your money's worth. You want, as I say, you want your hard-earned diploma at the end of that. Otherwise, you want to go to school, right? You expect that what you put in, you're going to get something out of that. You know, same thing with betting. You want to, if you're betting on a team, on a sports team, we don't do that because we're Christians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But if you're putting money down on something, the reason that you're doing that is because you expect your team is going to win. Amen? You know, if you are a Raiders fan, you're a Raiders fan because you expect the Raiders are going to win. I mean, I don't know what you're expecting anymore, Jesse. Can you, they're not winning. Anyways. I don't know what they're expecting. But anyways, that's beside the point. Those people have extra faith. The point is that normally, besides the Raiders fans, when you do something, it's because you expect that your actions are going to produce. And the reason why is because actions follow expectation, right? You act on what you expect that God is going to do. So, well, I was thinking when I was thinking about expectation, I just thought, man, like, why do we come to church unless we're going to expect God to move, right? Like, if you're going to come to church, if you're going to put in the work, let's put our faith out there and expect that God is going to do something great, that God, I'm not going to come into service and be the same. I'm going to expect that I'm going to walk away changed. I'm going to expect that God is going to speak a word to me. I'm going to expect that I'm going to walk into his presence. I don't want us to come into church, just come into church because it's a daily routine. I want us to go ahead and come to church because we expect that God is going to do something. God is going to move. And I think that when we have, I like what Isaac showed me a song a couple of years ago that Israel Houghton and Newbird sings, and they sing the song, and one of the lines he says is, the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. What is that saying? That's saying that when you create an atmosphere where you're like, God, I want you to move. I want you to do something. That's when God sees that faith. He sees that expectation, and he says, man, Jason is so pumped for camp. I want to reward his expectation by pouring into him and saying, Jason, thank you so much for showing up with a hungry spirit that wants to receive my word, that wants to receive what Shayla has to say, what I'm going to speak through her. Thank you. That's what I believe God says thank you to us by rewarding us with his presence. Amen? Because the world's not getting his presence. The world's not getting his presence. You know who's supposed to be the ones who are reaping the benefits of his presence? The ones who have eager expectation for him. We should be the ones cultivating that. We should be the ones that when the world, the secular world, comes in to our churches for the first time, they're like, whoa, what's different here? What's different here? What's different is that this is an atmosphere not like the clubs, not like the college campuses. We expect God is going to do a move. And the crazy thing is that expectation doesn't just follow the church. You are the walking church. The church is not this building. You are the walking church. So when you go into your school, you can expect that someone is going to get saved there that year. You can go into your school next year expecting that you're going to get someone saved in your classroom, expecting that God is going to speak a word to you. Amen? Getting ahead of myself, but the point is that actions follow expectation, because you wouldn't do it if you didn't expect something was going to happen, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and go to Mark chapter 5. This is going to be our main text that we're looking at tonight. And there's plenty of times in the Bible when someone had an expectation for God to move, and God met them where they were at because of that expectation. Amen? And I love that. I love that. And so this is, I was thinking, what story do I want to use? Because what's up, officer? I was thinking, what story do I want to use? Because there's so many. You guys know that I started calling Isaac pastor officer, because he's an officer and he's a pastor. So he's pastor officer. Also, we know how we call Pastor Vegas PV, and we call Pastor Tamara PT. He's a PI, Pastor Isaac. Private investigator for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyways, so let's go ahead and go to Mark chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 25. And this is a story where we see someone reaching out their expectation towards Christ, and God is meeting them where they are at, and I love it. So can we go ahead and get that on the screens? Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Don't move, just stay there. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been sick for a week and you're like, man, I can't wait to get over this. I need to continue on with my life. Like, I got to get stuff done, okay? I can't afford to be sick right now. I need to get back to work. I need to go grocery shopping. I need to live my life. Can you imagine being infected with a disease that has been in your body for 12 years? And here's the thing about her disease. It wasn't just the flu where she could tough it out and go to the grocery store. At this point in time in the culture, if you had an issue of blood, which means that if you were bleeding and it wasn't, you know, your woman time of the month, if you were bleeding, you were deemed unclean, which means that you were not allowed to legally leave your house. Not only were you sick and in pain and hurt, but on top of that, you are looked at as unclean, kind of like a menace to society. We don't want you in public. We don't want you infecting other people. So this woman has been cut off from her everyday life for the past 12 years. I don't know about you, but I would be sick and tired after a week of being in my house, constrained in my house, you know? And then on top of that, not only is she constrained from living her life outside, but then think about the relationships. She wasn't allowed to be around people. She wasn't allowed to be physical with a man. She couldn't have emotional intimacy with a man. She couldn't do it. She probably couldn't even go, and she couldn't go see her. I imagine that maybe she had kids. She couldn't go see her kids get married. She couldn't go out and do whatever she wanted to do. I have no idea. I don't know this woman's life. I don't know if she had a husband. I don't know. All I know with this is that once she got sick, she couldn't be intimate with him anymore. Once she got sick, all of her relationships in her life were dramatically altered in some way, shape, or form. And it's so sad. Sometimes we can just read that and be like, yeah, the lady was sick for 12 years. No, put yourself in her perspective, how much this would have been devastating to your life, right? Next verse. For 12 years, she suffered the issue of blood. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Stay there. Stay there. It's very interesting to me that it says that she had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years, and she had spent everything she had to pay them. Remember originally what we said? You wouldn't do something unless you expected something to come back. So she spent everything she had. She expected she was going to give this doctor money and that he was going to give her the cure. And then she expected that she was going to give the 7th doctor money, the 12th doctor money, the 50th doctor money. I don't know how many doctors she went through. Here's what I know. She spent everything she had. If she had a house, she took out a second mortgage on it. You know, if she had a carriage, she sold it. Whatever this lady owned, she went bankrupt. No money in her bank account. Trying to get better. But every single time, instead of getting better, over time, she was getting worse. See, the thing is that she was putting her expectancy, this is relating to what the world has to offer us. What are you putting your expectancy in that you're not getting no return on? She's putting her expectancy that man is going to help her. That if I give you money, then maybe you can ease my pain. Maybe you can give me the cure. Newsflash, guys, there's nothing that the world has. Stop putting your expectation in the world. Maybe you have turned to, you have, I've talked about this before, maybe you have a side girl or a side boy, and they're, what you're putting your expectancy in to have your heartbreak numbed for a little bit. You know, you're expecting them to fulfill your desire to be loved. You're expecting those drugs to help you. You're smoking marijuana and you're thinking, oh, I expect that this is going to help me with my anxiety, that this is going to help me with my depression. You're putting your expectancy in the wrong things in the world. And it says that by the end of this, she had put all of her expectancy so she could expect no more because she spent all of her money on uselessness because she got no better. She got worse. I'm telling you guys, we talked about this when I spoke on the Radium Girls. When you put your expectancy in the wrong things, you're just going to come out worse. You expect that guy is going to fix you, but in reality, he's just going to make your heart even more broken. Your broken heart, he's going to rip it in 50 more pieces. Why? Because he's not Jesus. He can't be the one to mend your heart together because he's not the one, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but he's not the one who created your heart. You need Jesus to be the one to fill that hole. You need Jesus to be the one to be the one who brings peace into your anxiousness. You know, he's the one who can cure you. But anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves. The point is that she's putting her expectancy in the wrong thing. So let's go ahead and go to the next verse. Then she had heard about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. She doesn't know Jesus. She never talked to Jesus. She had never watched a YouTube video of Jesus. All she had done at this point in time is she heard through the grapevine that there's a man and people are saying that he's the Son of God. And he's doing these miraculous things. He's opening the blind eyes. I even heard that he raised a man from the dead. And so she hears this and she's like, what? I've already put my expectancy in so many other things. And what I love about this woman is even though she's put her expectancy in so many other things and she's been disappointed, she hears about Jesus and she says this. Go on to the next one. So she came up to touch his robe. She told her, so she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. What she said is, you know what, Jesus? I expect that I don't need a 5-point sermon from you. I don't need you to lay hands on me and give me a 5-minute prophetic word. I don't need any of that stuff. All I need is to just be in your presence. Because if I'm in your presence and you're the Son of God, you're the one who could heal me. You're the one who's going to fulfill the past 12 years of hurt that I've gone through. You're going to be the one to heal those things. So for us, as we're going into, you know, youth camp season, sometimes we can have this expectancy of, I need a 5-point sermon for me to get touched by God. I need someone to lay hands on me. I want the man of God. I want Pastor Daniel Gray. I want him to lay hands on me. Because when he lays hands on me, that's when all my sickness is going to go away. That's when my heartache is going to go away. And I would say, get your expectancy up higher to where you're the one who says, all I need to do is be in the presence of God. And that's when I'm going to get healed. Because God wants to meet my expectancy. God is using Daniel Gray. God is using Shayla. God is using us as vessels. But the truth is, we have no power in and of ourselves. The one who has the power is Jesus Christ. So if you can get it in your head that all I need to do is be in Jesus' presence. If I come in with an expectancy of, I'm just going to worship. You know what? I don't even care if I hear a sermon. I'm going to get my breakthrough in the worship. You have set your expectancy high, and God is willing to meet that. It's so amazing to me that she doesn't know him, but yet this faith rises up in her, and that when she does that, Jesus meets her with that faith. Can we go to the next one? Next verse. He says, immediately the bleeding stopped. Immediately. There was immediate healing in her life in that moment. immediate healing. I could only imagine how uncomfortable it was for her to know that if at any moment, if someone saw her bleeding, they could call her unclean and stone her. But you know what the truth is? She cared more about what God had for her. She expected that God was going to heal her more than she cared about the opinions of man, more than she cared about the rules of the society. The rules of the society said, you're unclean, you're not allowed to be out here. And you know what the crazy thing is? They could have killed her. She had such a faith in God that she said, I believe that when I touch him, I'm going to be healed, and they can't kill me. That by the time I get to him, I'll be healed, and I won't be stoned. I will live, and I will not die. That is what she said to herself. It says that she thought that in her head. Change your thinking patterns. Instead of thinking, man, I'm not sure if God's going to speak to me at this camp. Or instead of thinking, you know, I've been going to church for the past 3 weeks. I don't really feel anything. Start to think, today's going to be the day that God speaks to me. Start to think, God is going to speak to me on the first night. Start to think that God wants to have a relationship with me, and not just Shayla, not just Daniel, not just Candace, not just the people that you see on the microphone. Start to think that God wants to have a relationship with you. I think a big part of the problem is that we sit in the back seat and we expect that God is going to come to us and call us out. And if God doesn't call us out, then God doesn't love us. How come I'm not special? You know, how come God doesn't want to call me out? And I would say to you, well, where's your tenacity to run towards God? Because I see here that the woman met Jesus where he was at. Yes, Jesus can meet people where they're at. Plenty of times, Jesus just walked up to people and healed them. But what I see mostly in the Gospels is that people are going up to Jesus. We need to stop acting like the world needs to be handed, all of our healing needs to be handed to us on a silver platter, otherwise we don't want it. Come on, you know? So for the timid people who are like, I'm just going to say this. If at camp you're in the fourth, fifth row, and then you're crying on the last day in your mind because no one prayed for you, that's your fault. Because your expectancy level was too low, and you just said, God, if you don't meet me where I'm at, I'm not going to get anything. And the opposite is actually true for what Jesus takes pleasure in. He loves it when we come to him and we say, God, do something in my life. You asked the TCMI students, most of them cried out to God first. You know, they had to sign up in the program. They had to say, God, I want you to change my life. You know, Candace had said that she was like, you know, okay, whatever, I'm going. But at least she went. At least she signed up for something. You know what I'm saying? And the more that you have your expectancy up high, the higher likelihood that God is going to meet you where you're at. And so I love this woman because she pushes through even the threat of death because she doesn't care. I mean, side point. You know, some of us care too much about what people think of us when we're worshiping. Do you know that the Bible says that Jesus got alone multiple times to go spend time with God? Which means that he had to separate himself from the disciples because he was like, I need my own time with Jesus right now. You guys are my homies, but this is me and Jesus. This is me. I'm Jesus. Me and Jesus. Jesus. No, this is me, the Holy Spirit, and God time. This is like the Trinity time right now. So if Jesus had to separate himself so that he could have communion with the Father, and he's the Son of God with the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, how much more do we need to sometimes separate ourselves and say, God, this is not about the people in the room. This is not about the people on stage. This is about me and you. And when you separate yourself and say, God, I'm expecting you to move. I'm expecting you to do something. I don't care what anyone thinks of me, to my left or to my right. I'm just going to praise. There's things in the spiritual realm that will break off of you when you break off that mentality of what people think of you. Because the truth is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you're diligent enough to say, I don't really care what anyone thinks of me, God is going to reward that. Amen? Amen. So let's continue on. I read this, so this is like the entire part, but let's go on. We'll actually get to that. Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out from him. So he turned to the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Continue. His disciples looked at him, or said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How could you ask who touched me? This was like the LA freeway going into LAX. It's crowded. There's people all around. And it's crazy for Jesus to say at this moment, who touched me? Because there's so many people touching him, right? The disciples are looking at him like, homie, what you talking about? We are surrounded by people touching us right now. How could you say that? They're looking at Jesus like he's a little bit crazy right now. But Jesus isn't crazy. Jesus knows something that they don't know. Continue on. But he kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had just happened to her. Sometimes you will just tremble at the realization of what just happened in God's presence. Came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. So I just want to pause here. Why did Jesus do that? Why would Jesus, in the middle of everything, say, hey, who touched me? Because he could have been like, oh yeah, healed someone, keep going. Because he's on his way somewhere. He's got stuff to do. He's got miracles to do. He's on his way. He's moving. He all of a sudden feels the power leave him and go into this woman and heal. And instead of him saying, yep, healed someone, let's keep going, he stops to make a point. He looks around and says, who touched me? And he waits. He doesn't call her out. He waits for her to stand up and say who it was. I believe the reason that he did that was because he wants to make a point to us today how critical it is, that we reach out and touch him, how critical it is that we press through the crowd and touch him. He doesn't want to just keep moving. He wants to make a point to all of his disciples. Look at everyone who's touching me right now. But one woman received her miracle. And why is that? Because she told herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I would be healed. And my question to us is, who are you in the crowd? Are you the person who's just coming to church, brushing up against Jesus? Oh, got my word, I feel real good, I got pumped up, I got my little sermon, I got my hype. Then you go back on Monday and you have no expectancy for God to do anything in your life? Are you brushing up against Jesus? Or are you outstretched arms? Jesus, I just need to touch you. Because if I could touch you, I'll be changed. Because there's a difference between rubbing up against Jesus and yearning for him and stretching for him. And Jesus knows the difference. That's the crazy part. No one else noticed the difference. The disciples didn't notice the difference. But Jesus did. And so for us as Christians, and I'm preaching to myself because I've grown up in church, it's very easy to blend in with the crowd. Oh, I got my Jesus. I got my Jesus. Like, I went to church on Sunday. I went to church on Wednesday. I got my Jesus. And you might be fooling everyone else, but Jesus knows the difference between a brush and a stretch. Jesus knows the expectancy levels that we have in our heart. So I would just encourage all of us, hey, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm saying this to encourage you. Become like the woman with the issue of blood, who was no longer the woman of the issue of blood once she touched Jesus, because it said that she was healed immediately. Immediately. And I love that. So I read this whole story. Oh, I actually want to read the last verse because it's so precious. Oh, if you read this, you could just cry if you just think about how precious this moment is. So she fell to her knees, told him what she had done. Next verse. Then he said to her, daughter. He calls her daughter. He doesn't know her name. Maybe he did in his mind, but he chose to call her daughter. The one that I love, the daughter that I'm going to choose to call my own child. He calls her daughter in that very moment. God will call you daughter. God will call you son in that very moment. Amen? That you reach out to him. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. He didn't say my faith. He said your faith. Because you partnered your faith with me, a miracle was done here. Hello? The atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground of miracles. He's telling that woman, this miracle was done, not because of my faith, because of your faith. Your faith has made you well. Yes, I did the healing, but because you partnered your faith with my miraculous works, we were able to get something done here. I believe if us as Christians, if we began to partner our faith with what God wants to do, we could really get something done in Sozo Youth Group. We could really get something done in Pico Rivera. We could really get something done in the state of California. We could really get something done in America. We could really get something done all around the world if we began to take our expectation level and partner our faith with what God wants to do. Amen? That is so mind-blowing that Jesus calls her out. and tells her, your faith has made you well. And I believe that we can even pray. You know, side story. I remember being 15 years old, hardly believing in God, kind of not sure, trying to figure it out. And I remember thinking, you know what, like, I never really told everyone, like, hey, I'm an atheist, but in my head, I kind of just was not really sure if I believed in God. But I heard a sermon, it was really encouraging, I kind of started getting back on track with what I was raised. Anyways, long story short, I'm getting on there. I was getting on the path to the where Jesus wanted me to be. And I remember everyone getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone was getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a really cool thing. And I remember we went to an event called Acquire the Fire. And I thought, oh, man, like, when I go to Acquire the Fire, I bet you I'm going to speak in tongues. It's going to be, the first time I'm going to speak in tongues. And I went, and I didn't speak in tongues, and I was sad. And then we went to youth camp. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go to youth camp, and I'm going to speak in tongues. And then I went to youth camp, and I didn't speak in tongues, and I was really sad. And I was still learning the voice of God, but I felt like the voice of God told me, hey, Shayla, you're gonna get the gift of speaking in tongues, but you're gonna get it at home. And I was like, oh, cool. So, like, every day, I'm kind of thinking in my head, you know, okay, God, is today the day? I'm thinking he means my house. So I'm just waiting at any moment for the presence of God to hit me, you know, vacuuming, shakarabare. Like, I'm just, like, waiting for God to hit me because I think I heard the Holy Spirit softly whispered to me that I'm going to get the gift of tongues at home. After like a month of me not getting it, I went to Academy of Righteousness. Pastor Elsa prayed for me for an hour. And then after I didn't get it, I was like, there's something wrong with me. Why am I not getting it? And I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, hey, you're going to get it at home. You're going to get it at home. Okay. Just kind of waiting. Then I remember we were in a Sozo service back when Sozo was OG Sozo over there. Did you guys like that OG Sozo song we did tonight? If you guys don't know, that's not a new song. That's a very OG Sozo song. We haven't done that in years. So we're in OG Sozo. I'm about 15 and a half. We're going to turn 16. And I remember worshiping, and I started praying for my friend Annabelle. And she got on her knees, and I got on my knees with her. And I started praying and just prophesying over her life, just praying with her because I know she was going through some stuff. And as I began to pray, When I prayed for her, I all of a sudden like felt like I needed to speak in tongues in that moment, which was the first time ever, and I began to speak in tongues at Sozo. And I remember thinking, okay, God, like, what the heck? I was so happy. I was like, awesome, I spoke in tongues, this is great, I spoke in tongues, this is awesome. But like, I thought you told me I was gonna get tongues at home. And he said, you did get your tongues at home. Sozo Youth is your home. And you kept thinking that when you go to this camp, you're going to speak in tongues. And you kept thinking when you go to Acquire the Fire, you're going to speak in tongues. Or when this pastor prays for you, you're going to speak in tongues. And I just want to meet you where you're at, Shayla. And I wanted you to speak in tongues right where you're planted. And it was so awesome for me. But I believe that God met me where I was at because I had an expectancy to receive. I was like, God, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it out of this camp. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it here. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it there. But I expect that I'm going to get this gift, amen? So if we have an expectancy that God is going to move in our life, we have an expectancy that you are going to speak in tongues because God wants you to be able to have that gift. You are going to get healed. You are going to be emotionally restored. When we have that expectancy, God is willing to move in our life, amen? So I read this story of the woman with the issue of blood, and I just thought it was so powerful. But you know what was really interesting to me? I read this story, and I just thought, she's never given a name. Like, it doesn't say her name was Sarah and she had an issue of blood. It doesn't say her name was Rebecca and she had an issue of blood. And I just thought, that's kind of sad, right? Like, how come the scripture doesn't tell us her name? And I thought about that. And then after a while, I realized that her name was insignificant. What mattered is what Jesus brought her out of. So we don't need to know that her name was Sarah, Rebecca, Becky, Felicia. What matters is not her name. What matters is what Jesus has brought her out of. So we don't need to know her name. We just need to know that she had an issue of blood and now she doesn't anymore. She had an issue of blood and now she's healed. She was healed immediately. And we can take that into our lives and say, God, it doesn't really matter if Shayla Cohen's name is known in the world. I don't care if people know my name. You know what I care about? I care that people know that that's the girl who was broken. That's the girl that Jesus brought out of her mess. That's the girl who didn't have faith when she was a kid. That is the girl that Jesus met her where she was at, and she began to fall in love with Jesus. That is the girl. That is what is important in this story. Not what her name is, but what Jesus did in her life. You know, because you know who the important name is here? Jesus. Jesus is the important name in this story. Not hers, but what God did in her life. And so for you, you know, it doesn't really matter what your name is and who knows and how many Instagram followers you have and what degrees you have. For us, if we call ourselves Christians, what really matters is that the world knows what God brought us out of. And that we're expecting that God is going to do that in other people's lives. And that we expect that he's going to continue to do that in my life. He continues to blow my mind to this day, the things that he does. God didn't meet my expectation level when I was 15 and then he was done. I continue to keep my expectations high. And God continues to meet me where I'm at. Last verse, and I'm going to end on this. Last verse. We're almost done. We're going to end in prayer. Romans 8, chapter 19. Or chapter 19, verse 8. Sorry. Romans 8, verse 19. It says, for all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. That word expectation and the eagerly waiting eagerly. In the NLT version, in the NIV version, it says eager expectation. For all creation waits with eager expectation in NIV. And that word eager expectation in the Greek, it literally means that it says as if like you're leaning over something and you're looking. It's like when you're trying to watch a race and the people are far down and you're trying to get a glimpse of it. You're like, oh, I want to see them. You're leaning over the pole trying to get a glimpse of something. That's what that word means in the Greek, is that you're trying to get a glimpse of, you're leaning in eager expectation with an outstretched hand. That's what that word means. And I would say that if creation is eagerly expecting God to speak, God to move, God to reveal who his sons and daughters are, how much more should we be eagerly expecting God to move, God to speak, God to show who his sons and daughters are, God to reveal to us who he's called into his kingdom and who we need to go pray for, who we need to go minister to, the time when we need to go and set ourselves aside and say, God, I don't care if anyone else is looking, I'm going to worship you. We need to eagerly be expecting God to move. Because it says in scripture that creation, I don't want creation, a rock, a tree, to be waiting more eagerly than I am for God to speak. I need to be expecting God to move, God to speak, my life to be changed at Sozo Summer Camp. I'm going to be expecting that God doesn't just move in my life, but God moves in the lives of others, amen? And we all need to be expecting that. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want us to say, God, as a youth group, we want to expect eagerly for you to move in our lives, in our camp, in our lives, in our families, in our homes, Jesus. We want you to move, Jesus. So if that's you, if you say, Shayla, I want my expectations level up high from here on out. I haven't had them high enough. I want my expectations high for God to move in my life and the lives of people around me. I want you without any fear at all. Because remember we talked about we need to stop caring about what other people think, what other people watch. Without any fear at all, I want you to shoot your hand up. If that's you, you want to get your expectation level high for other people, for what God's going to do at camp. You want to get your expectation level high for camp. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. God, you see the hands that are lifted. You see the hands that are raised. And my hand is lifted too. Because I need to get my expectation levels up high. Jesus, help us to be like the woman with the issue of blood. She had an issue. And because she had her expectation levels up high, her issues faded away immediately. Help us to expect that immediately you are going to speak in our lives. You're going to do mighty works. God, I pray for miracles, signs, wonders, prophetic words in our lives. God, help us to get our hopes up high. Help us to get our faith out there. Help us for our expectations. You raise the bar. You set our expectations, God, not us. You set them for us, Jesus. And we ask that you would continue to move in the lives of these youth here, God, that you would speak to them in their everyday lives what you would have them to do, Jesus, and how they can be like that woman, so bold, so courageous, that she cared more about having a taste of Jesus than she did of what man thought of her. She wanted a time in your presence more than she wanted anything else. Everything else faded away in that moment. So God, I pray that in our lives, everything would fade away in comparison to how much we want you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Are you guys ready and expecting God to do something in your life? Are you expecting God to move at camp? Are you expecting God to move in your families? Amen. I'm expecting that God is going to do great things. And like I said, I'm so excited, but it's not fake hype. Do you guys understand that? I'm not talking about fake hype. Like, yeah, I got to the move. I mean, like, real, genuine faith that says, God, you're awesome, and I believe in you. Amen.